Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 648. I am Chris, and I have no idea where Tony is, but Earl is here.
And I have no idea what's going on. I am, you know, ready to cancel services and shut down the government.
Oh, that's very soon, isn't it? Like 9 days or something like that?
It's the end of the month, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you have a functioning democracy?
Oh, shit. Like, external to the show, like, we all have real jobs. and where we don't talk about video games all day. My real job, one of our major contracts is with the U.S. government. So it's a major contract, because it deals with the military and like making sure that they have people. Military families and retirees that are overseas, making sure they have health care. And that's that. One, the government won't pay us if they're shut down, and two, if we're not getting paid, like, do we continue those services? There's a lot of shit that that goes into a government shutdown. Those people aren't going to get paid, and they may not have health care either, so
yeah,
sucks.
Party of fiscal responsibility.
Yeah. Jeff is here as well.
I'm just going to vape and grope my way through it.
Okay. you take off your shirt and threaten people too.
What did the guy say? I'm a god.
Yeah, you want to test God?
You want to test God? Come get it, shit stack. And then he's like, I've been to heaven. I'm heaven sent.
for those wondering what the hell Jeff and I are talking about, there's a video cycling out there of a crazy guy on a golf course who has picked up another person's ball.
Stole their ball.
And is yelling at them. And he's telling them to leave, like, get away.
He seems like calm at first, and then he goes completely ape shit out of nowhere.
Absolutely, like, this guy is dressed to golf, khaki pants and polo shirt, and at the end he does not have a shirt on. He is flexing, screaming like a lunatic.
The mess is when he flexes and then he looks down at his muscles like he expected them to get bigger. Yes.
Somebody was like, "Dude, thought he was fucking Hulk." He looks at himself. Surprised.
Yeah,
was surprised that he didn't grow.
I am also referencing our beloved Congresswoman Lauren Boebert with her.
Oh yes, that happened.
Vaping, Jesus, groping. Yes.
That's how you watch Live Entertainment. I mean, I'm with her.
I mean, dude, do you not get all horned up when you go to see Beetlejuice the musical?
Definitely the biggest turn on for me. So,
I question people who don't get turned off. I mean, you get to say Beetlejuice.
Right.
Beetlejuice.
She was into it, man. She was way into it.
Way.
I mean, she was very into it as she grabbed his dick. Like,
but she was like, thought it was like a participatory event too. Like, she was like pointing at stage and screaming and shit. Like, I love this lady. She's great.
The most relatable thing she's ever done.
It is easily the coolest thing. Like, she wins points if anything for me off of that. It's just the hypocrisy of it all that is, like, the thing that, like, you could kind of poke at her about it.
Yeah,
I'd love to poke at her.
She is a genuinely trashy person.
So
that should not be in any sort of power. And this is what happens when you let trashy people. Like,
I mean, she could like cuff me. That I could do that type of power. Like,
Jeff, we are not here to take your fantasy payout on the podcast.
Blow that vape in my face, lady. I'm not pregnant. Yeah, did you hear that? They're like, that's what started it. It's like some pregnant lady was like right there. She's vaping and she's like, can you please not do that?
Yeah, that was really all it was. It's like, can you not? All she had to do was not vape. Then she could have like had her boobs grabbed. Yeah, she could have grabbed all the dick she wanted. And she could have sang along with the songs. Nobody would have gave a shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so I will say, and this always bugs me, because the thing is, like, again, the right-wing media is just so, it then become like, why are there cameras in this, why are there night vision cameras in this playhouse? It's because people do stuff like that.
Or, right. You know, maybe all the mass shootings that, you know, you allow in public, maybe, like, they want to have that.
I mean, it's probably for security and, for evidence, but it's also exactly what happened here, where she's like, I didn't do any of that.
Yes, and that's what drives me nuts. It's like, that's not the story should be that. Yes, that's the story. But the fact that she both faced I didn't do that. And then it came out, I apologize. She apologized for the vaping, and then the groping video came out afterwards. And I don't know if she's ever apologized for that.
I don't know if she responded to that, but her response to her behavior, like the vaping and all that, like in general, was pretty funny too. It was like, I'm kind of eccentric. It's like, oh, now it's okay to be eccentric and different. Like, I thought that was like against what you guys are about. I thought we were supposed to conform and sit there quietly in your fucking seat and shut the fuck up.
Well, we're supposed to, not.
Oh,
not,
yeah, really, I not, forgot. Not, yeah.
Like everyone else is allowed to.
Rules for you.
Exactly.
And I mean, and that's kind of what it is. Because, I mean, like, yes, people pointed out this was in children's film, like, kids were there. And you go on about a drag show. It's like, this was in public where people's kids were. And it's like,
yeah, it was such a delicious onion, too, because it would be like, you get that and that and that. And then it'd be like, the guy she was dating was a Democrat who has a bar, and always bar has drag shows. Like, it just kept getting better and better and better.
Okay, and again, it's not dating, perfect. Because as far as I know, it was their first date.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's going back.
It seemed like they were going for a second, like, or at least, you know, a good first one.
Okay, they were going for the 9-month pin. So, yes.
I love her. She's the best. Keep her around. Don't vote her out.
No, don't vote her out because she's insane.
She's absolutely insane.
She can still do all of that. She can still do all of that. And
I guess I could subscribe to her OnlyFans or, you know.
Right, like she's gonna be a public figure from now on out, right? So, like, you get her out of office so she can't vote on anything.
All right, this is a private conversation we've had going on since long before this. Are you guys ready to admit she's not that? You know, she's kind of hot. It's not terrible.
I don't think that's the point.
No, that is the point I was trying to make. I'm not agreeing with anything she says, but she's kind of got it going on.
There are pictures of her where I'm like, she is cute if I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, sometimes she does not look, like, amazing. No, but, like, she looked pretty good that night. Her boobs were popping.
Like, I just typed her name into Google and, you know, images came up. And there's one where she's like, hey, like, that's a great picture of her. And then there's one like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, that's anybody, though.
She's also,
like,
she's also, you know, getting, you know, she's not, like, 20 years old. But sometimes she does look like she could be early 30s. And, you know, so I'm just giving credit where credit's due. I'm a fair guy.
I mean, there's
a how much trouble am I already in at the beginning of this podcast?
I was going to say, I mean, if we get canceled for the way we talk about women today.
I'm being nice, though, I think, a little bit.
It's still objectifying her.
I know, but, like, it's okay.
I don't know. I don't think that's how it works.
Who is the judge?
And much like Jeff, said at the beginning of this podcast, my senator also is going to take up vaping and grabbing the hog during live musicals. So.
For some reason, I thought this was about Giuliani.
Oh, yeah, he's like, he likes groping.
Yes.
I mean, it could be
melting,
right?
And
he does look like he is melting.
That guy is fucked. Pour one out for Giuliani, America's mayor.
Oh my gosh.
At one point he was, and he
he so weirdly
all those chips in on the wrong train.
Yeah, it was weird because I don't think he was not liked before then, was he, Earl?
Well, again, I was gonna say, I mean, when he was mayor, I was a wee ad. Like, he had a reputation because he cleaned up, and I think it was one of those things where, like, as a kid, you don't pay attention, but it was like 9/11. He became America's mayor and all that other stuff, and. You know, people
he had all the goodwill in the world. After I remember everyone liked him. Yeah.
I remember people were sad when he, you know, he was he had to leave office and stuff like that. And then for a while he was quiet. I think what broke him was Chris Christie.
He's had some ups and downs, as I understand.
He has, but I feel like he still had, and then like Chris Christie. With like, you see, he does it every time. It's like a verb, adjective, 9/11 or something like that. During that.
Oh, did he do that against him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that line. I watched all those debates, man. It's so crazy. I can remember that from like fucking 13 years ago or whatever.
Chris Christie, another like despicable human, but in terms of like right wing debaters, when he is targeting his own, he's. Pretty biting. Like, the guy actually knows how to speak.
Except for, did anyone watch the Republican debate that happened?
No.
Okay, so that's why I tuned in, because I thought he was going to trash Trump and step all over everyone else there for supporting Trump.
Right.
Dude, he was so weak. So weak. I couldn't believe it. Like, this guy is, like, way tougher on MSNBC and this and that. Then he got put on the stage with everyone else, and he was, like, timid about it.
But
it was really kind of, like, disappointing.
I think, like, the thing was, like, a lot of them seemed to be a vibe. Not because, like, he went after, what is it, Varick?
Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah. That was, like, what emerged out of that debate was, like, this, like, everyone kind of hating that guy. Because
it's really hard to debate somebody who's not there. You can't punch an invisible target.
Yeah, but they did get a chance where they were, like, they did ask about Trump, and everyone got to, like, say their piece or whatever, and, like, you know, Christie was just like, oh, he went against the Constitution. Like, he did not slam him nearly as hard as I would have thought, and he didn't slam anyone. Like, Vivek is, like, this Trump fucking idiot. Like, he should have fucking hit him for that, and he just did not do it. Like, I mean, part of it was the crowd loudly booing against anything you said negative about Trump, but, like, that's what you're there to do, right? Like, that's what...
Well, I mean, and that's
Christie's, what like, theory of the case is that.
That's what everybody's been talking about. It's very hard. It's been very hard, because, like, this is why nobody can really stand out. It's, like, it's very hard to, like, run a campaign against somebody you're trying not to piss off, because everybody's just kissing the ring.
Yeah. Which is weird, but Christie, like, that's his whole thing, right? He's the one that's not doing that, so it's weird.
He's the only, in my opinion, he's the only one that's right. Like, I hear the dynamic that Earl described is real. It's like, you don't want to lose Trump's base, you want to win them over, right? But, like, the competition that we have going is, I'm running for president against you, so I have to say why you suck and I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, what Christie's doing is the only path. It's the only path. Like, Ron DeSantis should have been doing that a long time ago. And you know what you have to do? You have to change people's minds. Not listen to the polling and go, I should do what the polling says. No, you got to, like, make the case. You got to make your case. And Christie is the only one, like, going to do it. And, like, it's not going to equal anything, but DeSantis could have done it.
All the numbers have gone down.
Yeah. Well, Christie's gone up. Christie's now competitive with DeSantis. It's like, it's crazy, dude. But I don't care what any of the numbers say. Like, at the end of the day, you're running for president against this other person, right? You have to say why they suck. Like, I'm sorry.
Why should you vote for me over the other person?
Yeah.
And if they just, if you go, I know, like, it says, hey, you don't want to lose these people, so you got to be nice to Trump. But it's like, then what's the point? All you're doing is saying why you should vote for Trump at that point. Yeah, like, he's a good guy. He's great.
And that's the problem. It's like, they don't know how to navigate that space.
Which is crazy because, well, I mean, I guess because if you are trying to court those people, right? Like Biden's campaign was basically, I'm not him, like when he ran against them. But I guess if you're trying to court those people that would vote for him, like you can't be like, I'm not him, because they're like, but we like him.
Which, yeah.
I don't know.
But you got, like, that's the thing about Republicans. Like, once Trump won in 20, like, before Trump won in 2016, they were kind of all like, fuck this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Once he won, it was just all of a sudden, like, you know, fealty, like, oh, bowing their heads to him. And it's like, if you guys would all come out strong, like, all of you come out strongly against him, I don't know if it makes, like, his cult leave him, but, like, It's better than what you're doing, because what you're doing is fucking worthless, you know?
Yeah.
Y'all need to, like, stand up and do what you believe in for once. And
they don't believe in anything. Well, that's the problem. Yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, that's exactly the issue McCarthy's running into.
They all hate him, though. Yeah, inside, they all hate him.
But he wants to be speaker, and now, like, govern, and it's like, yeah, I don't know how to do that.
And they just want the power that comes with it.
We're on the fucking 700 club here, but you guys all saw that, like, Mitt Romney story about how, like, behind closed doors, they all hate him. Like, they all fucking hate Trump. Like, even some of the nutcases, Hollies and stuff, like, they don't like him.
But you saw the same thing with the Fox News, where they
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's insane, he's stupid, but he brings in money. And that's the shame of it all. It's like, people will sell out their freedoms and everybody else's just because, you know, like, Romney's a good example. He's like, part of it is like, he's independently wealthy. He spent something like, what, $2 million in the past 2 years for private security for him and his family because he doesn't kiss rings.
I just feel like at some point, man, don't you gotta put something above, like, I don't know, the short-term personal gain or whatever, like, or the party, like, at some point, don't you just be like, yeah, this guy's really bad, he's, like, not good, like, this is not good for us or anything, and just fucking stand up, have a fucking set of balls? I guess not. Like, I don't understand why, we're gonna keep going on this, but I don't understand why, like, people like Mitch McConnell feel like he can't say what he wants to say. Dude, you are never going to lose re-election. So what the fuck do you, like, just say it. Like, say what you want to say about him. You guys should have impeached him, you dumb fucks. You couldn't, like,
right.
Hey, you want to put Ron DeSantis as number one? Olympic field, you stupid idiots. I think they are wrong. Like,
if they had impeached him in either of the attempts, it would have been like, you could have just been like, look, you're gone. Like, we've rid the party of you. We've rid America of you. Please go away now. Instead, they just emboldened him and built him up even stronger.
I don't understand why. Like, if you're a Ted Cruz or a Mitch McConnell, whatever, like, after the January 6th, like, thing, that was, like, the perfect opportunity, like, just take this guy off the table. Like, he's gone.
What a problem.
Like,
is,
no one would question why you did that. Like, it was super obvious.
They did it, and then they walk it back. Because it's the same thing where, you know, like, I think last year, where a lot of stories came out, like, Fox News is done with Trump. They're going to back DeSantis. And DeSantis is just a bag of wet farts. He has no.
But if they had impeached him after January, it's over. That's it. End of story. And you know, have your fantasies about him, but he's gone. Like, that's
You don't have to hit your wagon to somebody like Ron DeSantis. You could hit your wagon to somebody else. It's not
a wet
bag of farts, is like Earl has described him.
Yeah,
it's crazy how that party went from Romney as a candidate, who, you know, I obviously don't like him or anything, but like, he's like normal, sort of, you know.
Yeah, for a Mormon. And to be fair, I think a lot of people, you know, chalk it up to not even him, but like Sarah Palin, kind of the death knell of a.
She was the start. She really was.
Yeah, McCain picking her. Really, like, just kind of tipped it. It's like, oh, crazy works.
And that's the thing, like,
but it doesn't.
People really rarely point back to her, but she's like the birth of that movement. Like,
and I think it's her, but it's also just because like it was the same thing with like the Tea Party rising up, and
yeah, but that was after her. She was the fucking like patient zero. Like, it's weird to think about, but like she was emblematic of what the party would become. Like, she's not, like, honestly, she's probably, like, less crazy than most of them now. Like,
oh, no, she's still batshit bananas.
Oh, I don't get me wrong, but, like, that's,
she just has no power.
But like, now you have, like 20 to 30 people like her in the fucking house. Yeah. Like, it's insane. People have no business being there.
She's Lauren Boebert, like, 13 years ago. Yeah. Like,
also, she was not, you know, she's not bad looking, you know.
And I was going to say that earlier. I mean, when you said that, it's like one of those things where, like, it's one of those things where, like, and it's such a shame. It's not even, I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, the Democrat. It's a shame that, like, it's treated as, like, an equal thing in the eyes of, like, the media and stuff, where it shouldn't be. Like, we should not treat this as normal. We shouldn't, that one party just elects the most wackadoo, unqualified people. I'm not saying you should have a civics exam every time, but I feel like it should be people who are actually there to want to do stuff and not just to talk.
I think because, I think it's kind of messed up that, like, the media still treats Trump as, like, a normal candidate.
Just past Sunday, right? Like, he had
an
interview with Meet the Press.
Mr. President, what would you do on abortion? And it's like, dude, you're talking to him like he did not try to overthrow the government. Like,
well, you're talking to him like he hasn't been president. He has a track record. And the way they can make him get away with the fact that he's an advocate for it while also campaigning about, like, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't overturn Roe v. Wade. I'm like, and then they came out with, like, we fact checked his interview in an interview separately. You pre-taped this. You knew who you hired. You still aired it, and then you're just gonna, like, quote unquote fact checked it on a website. I'm sure everybody's checking.
Yeah, nobody's going to the ancillary media that you provide after the fact. Like, you need to provide it in the interview that you're hyping up for people to watch.
Yeah, it was, I wasn't surprised. I kind of expected the interview to go that way, but also it is disappointing to see Kristen Welker do that. Like, I was just like, I didn't expect much more from you, but that was not, like, I don't know why you're treating him like a normal Cassidy, dude. The guy should not be eligible to run for president. I know that somehow he is, but why are we acting like this guy's not a fucking crook? Like, why are we asking him normal? And then, yeah, and the policy questions, fuck you, dude. And he's trying to run away from the abortion thing, like, you did it, dude. You're fucked on that issue. Like, anyone that cares about that, they know what you did, so.
And there's still a great many people that care about that, so.
Hopefully, man.
I mean, the whole party, the whole Republican Party is trying to sidestep.
Yeah, that, I know. Right? If like we win in 2024, it's going to be in large parts of that. But I'm kind of worried about how things are going to go, but I have no control over them, so.
I'm also like, that's a year from now that I will start stressing out. Like,
next summer. Yeah.
Next summer. I mean, the good news is that, like, you know, it's been 4 years since the nightmare ended the first time, and more and more young people have registered to vote, and they are more and more going, like, liberal in their voting habits, so.
Yeah, I've been hearing that since fucking,
I mean, that,
like, it always kind of evens out.
I mean, it doesn't. I think it is true, but I think to the point, it's like a lot of them are so, like, so much, again, partially the media, partially a lot of people on social media, where a lot of people just get dissuaded because it's like, oh, it's just going to be the same thing. It doesn't make a difference. You know, like, again, like, people point out, like, Biden's so old. It's like, Trump's 2 years younger than a dude. Like, why do you not hear that? Or like,
that's mind-boggling. Like, that, like, we're going to talk about Biden's age, but not Trump? Like, the dude isn't that much younger.
Especially being that people are always like, oh, Biden, sir. I mean, you ever heard Trump speak? He sounds like somebody at the end of a night.
Also,
he consistently sounds drunk. Like,
Trump has, like, the physique of me, whereas Biden, like, is, like, riding his bike and fucking, you know what I mean? Like, Biden, for an 80-year-old guy, is in, like, excellent shape. Like, I don't understand, like...
Right, and he's always, like, I mean, that was the Uncle Joe memes back when, you know, he was vice president. It was because, like, he's always been a little quirky and weird and, like, you know, not fully together in his presentation. Like, that's just carried over to him being president. Like, he stumbles on words.
He stutters and stuff.
Like, yeah, like, you know, it's not bad. It's like, he's still very presentable, but...
And I'm going to be honest. I did not want Biden to be the president, but I think he's done it. Like, I guess I'm going to break from most people here and say, I think he's been a really great president. Like,
He's done a really good job. I think the problem is, one, like you mentioned, we keep on talking about Trump this and Trump that. And then again, a lot of people don't want to give him credit. So it's always high. Because, I mean, like, you know, he's had the Inflation Reduction Act. That's been really good. Like, we didn't get what we wanted, but there's been a lot of movement on, like, forgiveness of student loans for certain people.
Dude, he will pass what you put on his desk. He's good at dealing with the other party. Like, I don't know
what we're really bad at.
What do you want from him?
What I think Democrats are really, really bad at messaging is,
yeah,
is that Republicans are the obstruction here, right? Like Republicans are very good at messaging Biden, Biden, Biden. Like, you know, they get their little stickers, they put them on the gas tanks. Like, Biden did that.
You guys had that by you too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, but it turns around and it's like, Biden didn't do that. Also, you're not doing shit. Like, you're not putting anything on his desk to reject. You're just not doing anything.
Well, it's kind of like the child tax credit thing that ended, right? Like, they made it end, and then they're like, whoa, look at this, children are in poverty. It's like,
it's your fault, you fuckers. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that, like, nobody on the Democratic side, or nobody that, like, gets,
they're not unified enough in their message, and exactly, they don't have a huge media apparatus like the Fox News. Like, everyone thinks that, like, NBC, CBS, and all that are the liberal media, but they're not. They're very corporate, sanitized, yeah, like, very, like, basic.
And they're literally doing interviews with Trump, like, making him look like, yeah, a normal human.
Yeah.
I was going to say, at best, they are neutral. And even then, out of the new, because again, you see out of it now with the shutdown, it's like, oh, Democrats don't vote with Republicans because they're not putting anything up to vote. Like, if it was the reverse and Democrats passed without any Republican support. Oh, Democrats didn't do this, so Republicans can't pass it. It's like, there's no, like, it's like one side has to be the adults and has to be responsible. The other side is just there to be the other side.
And it's assumed. Yeah. That's like, it's assumed that that's how it is. So, like, if Democrats, if Joe Biden said something crazy on an interview, like, it would be the talk of the week. But Republicans do it all the time. It's just like, yeah. That's the Republican Party. Like, it's an uneven playing field. Yeah, it sucks.
They're not the same. Like,
yeah, it really sucks. But I hope that, you know, we prevail and Joe Biden gets reelected and Trump goes to prison. Hopefully that's the case. What worries me, honestly, is the shifting, like, the Democratic Party does not have the stranglehold on the Black or Hispanic vote anymore, and it's like, that is what worries me a lot, because those numbers shift too much, you're fucked. Like, that's how the Democratic Party survives, is the Black and Hispanic vote, and, like, the Hispanics vote especially is, like, it's almost 50-50 at this point. It's crazy how much it's shifted. I don't understand how, but that's just the numbers.
Well, I will say, I can't speak for the Hispanic side, and this is going to sound really terrible. Minority men, or Hispanic men, extremely toxic people. And I think the whole...
Like, it's like something cool tough, about Trump or...
That whole tough man act and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like he's a boss. Yeah. He gets shit done. I don't know.
Yeah. He's saying the stuff that we want to say or he's thinking of stuff. Again, even though...
Fuck you over.
Well, it's not even that. It's like people say that. And I'm like, I listen to the dude. I'm like, are you listening to the dude? Because I don't understand what he's saying. I don't think he knows what he's saying half the time. He just says words.
Yeah, he just kind of says word salads. It's just like...
It's all the coke and the benzos he does. All right. We can talk about video games. Since Tony brought it up last week, I think we went multiple Aaron Rodgers for the intro. So
yeah, that was episode. That's better than an episode of Real Time with Bill Mizzo.
God, don't talk about that, dude.
That's terrible.
Somebody else who's pissing me off this week. Granted, I've never been a fan of his. I feel like there's a certain cast.
He's terrible now.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a certain cast of people who were fans of his, and I
liked his talk show.
Yeah, but I think it's a very specific type of white liberal that inspired him at the time because he was provocative and he was always a straight shooter. But like every time, he's an idiot.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I used to really like his talk show because, again, there's very few like good political talk shows on TV, and that was one of the better ones. It was on HBO. You could swear, you could say anything, but like, man, dude, the quality on that show, not even the quality, but like, he just went more and more right wing or libertarian or whatever the fuck he is. And I haven't watched it in years. Like, I couldn't imagine watching that garbage. Like, it's so bad now. And you can only get people that, like, are kind of, like, fringe people to begin with now. Like, it's just, like, it sucks. It's too bad. They should have replaced that show long, long ago with something else.
Is that airing now, or is that off because of the strike? Well,
he was going to bring it back. Yeah. So that's why.
You missed this?
I caught what Drew Barrymore and somebody else was trying to bring back their show, but they both.
He was going to.
He was the other one.
Yeah. Okay, I'm actually surprised that he did the same thing. And he was like, never mind. Too much heat. And honestly, in his case, I could make the argument that it's like a news show. So, like, you know, news is still going, right? It's like a different union, but I guess he's still in the regular writers union and he was trying to come back. Regardless, well, though, yeah. That guy is terrible.
Yeah, let's talk about some leaks.
Let's talk about geeks, baby. Let's talk about me and you.
So what,
make my pussy leak. You ever heard that song? Have you heard that song?
I don't know.
Earl, you know that song, Make My Pussy Leak?
Is that the name of it?
No, it's not the name of the song. It's
it's him. The song
that's like Hellcats, SRTs, blah blah blah. Sexy Red, I think her name is.
Yeah, don't look up. Make my pussy.
I guess I'm the only hip.
Just saying.
Anyways, Jesus Christ! I need to drink more bourbon.
You need to drink more.
If I drink enough, I just disappear. I just, you know.
So I guess this happened Monday night into Tuesday morning. So I woke up and there was a leak overnight from the the court website housing the documents for the FTC Microsoft trial, and a bunch of stuff from Microsoft leaked out there, including their kind of their roadmap, their you know, system and hardware stuff, some game information on stuff that was, you know, targeting to come out, and like then there were internal emails. A lot of people are having a good laugh at the fact that Phil Spencer said that he would love to, you know, bring Nintendo into the fold of Microsoft, but Nintendo not willing to do so at the time. This was before they purchased Bethesda and ZeniMax Media, so I don't think people understand how business acquisitions work in some cases, because people seemed really surprised that they would have like a list of companies that they would try to merge with, and that a company like Nintendo or Valve would even be on that list. Like,
brainstorming, guys, it's all good.
Basically, like you put your big hits on, like, what would be a real big one to get, and yeah, you write those down.
I saw, I forget who. Okay, it's like, yes, and like they were like, if you haven't, but if you're Apple or Disney or Microsoft or Sony, if you haven't thought of purchasing Nintendo at some point, then you should be fired. Because in terms of, I mean, not even in terms of gaming, in terms of having a hybrid of recognizable IPs, there are a few companies that compete with them.
Right.
You have Marvel, you have DC, you've got Disney, you have some of Warner Brothers, like Hanna-Barbera, but even then, I don't think, like, I mean, you got Bugs and Looney Tunes, but I would think Mario and Smash Brothers stuff is bigger than that, or it's more recognizable. There are very few companies that have not just like Mario's, like a massive wealth of IPs you can mine for different stuff. And then you talk about their presence in gaming. Like, yes, it would be dumb for Microsoft or again Apple or Disney or Amazon or Google not to have considered purchasing or seeing if they could purchase Nintendo at some point.
Right. Like the idea that Nintendo would sell to them, crazy. Like, and clearly Nintendo's not selling to anybody currently, but the big companies are always going to have other big companies, long shots, on their list. So I didn't think that was nuts, but people really blew that one out of the water.
And I think it's I dislike this term because I hear it so much, but what is it, parasocial? That because I mean, somebody mentioned like Phil Spencer is kind of the last standing monument because Reggie's gone, Iwata's, you know, deceased. You know, Ken is gone from Sony. There's not like that. You don't have that triforce as it was of a gaming personalities where people knew and kind of latched onto. In the same way, so a lot of people put stock into Phil because, especially because Phil has curated that image of like he's one of us, he's just like us. And a lot of people are very keen to like, oh yeah, he's gonna do what's best for gaming. He's gonna do what's best for us.
I think that's probably it, right? Like they really view Phil as a buddy. Like, he's an executive.
Yeah, which I mean, it's fine, but yeah, I guess he just know what he is. And you won't get hurt.
Yeah. Some other stuff that leaked out of there, some hardware, information. Not sure when like what the dates on these documents were in particular, but Project Brooklyn, which is the mid-gen refresh of the Series X, was leaked out there. It is basically the Series X without a disk drive. It does have some like new upgrades in it, but nothing like the hardware itself, the game making hardware, game running hardware, isn't upgrading. It's just like Wi-Fi stuff, some wireless informational stuff. Makes the PSU run a little bit more efficiently. Power modes run a little more efficiently, stuff like that. Not anything, it's not more powerful. It's not a more powerful Xbox. It is the same Xbox, just rounder, I guess.
Yeah, that was an interesting shape.
It's cylindrical instead of the monolithic box that it is currently. I kind of like the design of it. I mean, it's just there. The Series X just kind of blends into the background with my stuff, and that's what I want out of that hardware.
Yeah.
So,
my chief thing would just be, as long as it's not, as long as it's feasible to fit into an entertainment unit, I don't like the PS5 for that reason, because of this distinct shape makes it very hard for you to actually slide it into your entertainment unit.
Yeah.
Without and nothing can really stand on top of it. So
yeah, nothing. I guess that like that's the thing with the Series X currently. It's a box. You could put something on top of it. Like you could lay it on its side and put something on top of it if you needed to. I guess as a cylinder, that would be harder to do. But I mean, it looks all right, I guess. New controller with that as well. It's very much like the old controller. Some of the buttons are not as clicky, as clacky. Like, I don't know if you've touched a newer Xbox D-pad. They're very noisy.
No, I have not.
Let me see if
do it.
Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, so my mic's not picking up, but it is. It's very clicky. Like the D-pad is. But I mean, that's not something that bothers me. But I mean, I guess there are some people out there that want a more quiet D-pad. It has improved haptics. It seemed to be on par with what's inside the DualSense. Thing about that is like Jeff. I mean, you have a PS5. Have you experienced anything with the haptics that you're like, this is game changing?
I mean, I would have to play the PS5, but no. And I turn all that stuff off pretty quickly on anything I own. So
yeah. Well, and nobody uses it, right? Like,
eats battery. It eats battery, dude.
And that the PS5 controller in particular. It's
weak battery.
Yeah, it is not great.
It's better than the PS4s. I think
a little bit, slightly.
But yeah, yes. But it's not. Yeah, it's not like if I had all that shit out of the lights and the fucking like that controller is insane. There's like crazy shit going on in that controller, which is like it's cool. It's like innovative, but like I don't need any of that, and that stuff eats up battery, which is more important to me than any of that stuff. So.
And that's kind of the thing, right? It is innovative, but there's like one or two games that Sony made that use
that
shit. And like anything else, like, oh, we use the speaker to like, I don't know, play audio logs at you or something, which is cool, but is it really needed? But anyway, the Xbox controller that they're targeting for June next year, June 2024 or May 2024, fourth quarter of this fiscal year. They're targeting with that. It has speakers in it, has improved haptics. I mean, I don't know. The form factor doesn't change, which is fine. I really like the Xbox controller, so
yeah,
it's a good controller. I do believe it has an internal battery, which is going to make some people happy. I know that, you know, there are people that are, and if they can get a battery that works like Nintendo's Pro Controller battery,
dude, I've been calling for this. I've been calling for this for a decade.
I don't mind. I don't mind the dual, like the double A's. You know, I have a bunch of rechargeables, but yeah, if you can get one that works as good as Nintendo's,
no, yeah, I hate it. And once my rechargeable battery, like I'll buy a dock, right, with rechargeable batteries, and you know, everything's good for a little while. Once it dies, then you're like, all right. I'm looking for new batteries. Well, the dock that you had is gone. You're just buying a whole new dock. I got like, I have 1, 2, 3 docks in the house from these different batteries. I just, come on, man. Like, fucking Nintendo figured this out. Nintendo figured this out, dude.
So do the docks, you put the batteries in, like they're in the controller, and then you just put the controller on the dock. You're not actually pop. Okay. Like I just have like, you know, Energizer, Duracell, rechargeable.
Oh yeah, an outside thing. This is like,
yeah.
For Xbox, they have, you know, docks that you rest the controllers in. I think it's kind of the same company. Like I've gone through it a few times now, but like we're talking about different generations now, so it's like the casing becomes different. Like they will send you, like they have to send different backs for the controllers, and it's just. It's a mess, and with Nintendo, you buy a Pro Controller, that's it, dude. Nothing's lasting for a month before you have to recharge it, and it's just... Just plug it into the fucking, like, a USB-C cord, and you're good to recharge. Like, just... Come on, man.
Nintendo's Pro Controller battery is absolutely fantastic.
It's Nintendo. Like, if Nintendo can do that, don't tell me you can't do that. Like, I don't care about the bells and whistles on the controller. Like that stuff's cool, and it is like cool sometimes when you're playing a PlayStation game and like you'll hear a siren or something like on the controller. That's neat, but like I would take that away in a heartbeat for just a battery that works. Please, Xbox.
A battery that works longer than 8 hours would be my request. So that leaked, and then there was also, there was some documentation that Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be exclusive.
Right, you little Sony fucks.
I mean, that again is, you know, it's going to be a case by case basis, but Starfield being exclusive has been very successful for them. So I can't imagine that they're going to switch on that, but we'll see. But that is a long way off, which we knew. Like, I don't think anybody was expecting the Elder Scrolls 6 the next year or the year after. That game is a ways off. And Starfield on those documents were supposed to be as of last year, I believe, or the year before was when they were targeting it. So, Oblivion and Fallout 3 remasters were leaked as part of this as well. A new Doom game. Doom Year Zero. That is that's actually targeted for, well, this one says fiscal year 23, but also that had Starfield coming out in fiscal year 21.
I was gonna say, I think part of it is like you also have to realize it's some of this. I mean, a lot of it is
the old document. Yeah,
yeah. The document was from, you know, I think
before. I think this one was like 2022 or. Like some of them were from 20. I mean, it's within the last 3 years, roughly.
Yeah. This mentions Dishonored 3 as a fiscal year 24 game, but that was before Redfall, so who knows what happens there. Ghostwire Tokyo sequel is mentioned on there, but again, Ghostwire Tokyo did not light the world on fire, so who knows what goes with that. I'm interested in this Doom Year Zero, though, because those new Doom games have been pretty fire, so...
Anything about Indiana Jones?
Yep. Indiana Jones is listed the year after Starfield. But Starfield was also listed for 2 years ago. That Indiana Jones game is technically supposed to be out along with the Oblivion remaster. So
what I'm getting out of this is an old, these are old documents, and maybe we shouldn't take everything with, like...
Exactly. So people taking this as, like, word that all this shit's coming, these are documents that...
We all have plans in life, and...
Yes, those plans change.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me is, like, you know, the video game industry should be more transparent. But, like, yes, I mean, if you followed the industry at any point, really, in any capacity, like, the fact that a company starts working on new console, even before they finish the previous one, isn't surprising. I mean, I think all of them have said at some point or another, like, they're working on a new console as soon as the last one is out the door.
Yeah, and that new console target for this is 2028, I believe. So,
kind of cool.
And again, it also varies. You know, it could just be, let's say your console catches fire. I'm assuming Nintendo probably had ambitions for the Switch, to, if it was not selling as well as it was, probably last year.
I think they wanted to do it this year, but the could not produce enough. That's my takeaway from what I've seen. But
that's also very feasible.
Either way, I'm in. Bring it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see that Indiana Jones game. I'm on board with an Oblivion or Fallout 3 rematch.
Yeah.
You make those games look better. New Doom for sure. And you know, there's other stuff that they can still be working on that we don't know about. So I think the roadmap is good for Bethesda. We'll see. None of it was like super surprising to me though. It's like, I think that was the people were really like, oh my god, this leak's crazy. And it's like, I don't know, this all seems pretty in line with what Microsoft's been doing.
I don't see anything here that's like different from what I do.
Right. I mean, maybe a couple little things, like the Xbox refresh and the new controller.
I was going to say, the thing that I found more interesting, again, which is more like behind the scenes stuff, is the document as to the assessment and cost of like getting games on Game Pass.
Oh, yep.
Because that is something that I think a lot of people have been curious about. And yeah, the fact that some of this is what I think, like, there were games that were $200-300 million that they anticipated. And there's some that's like $25-30 million. But I guess, I mean, the spade is calling a spade a spade. They do pay for it.
They pay that amount?
Yeah.
Well, so they have a target amount of what they're, the listing, and this was a listing from, I believe, 2020. So 3 years old at this point. But they basically rank games like that are announced, and then they go through and like, say, like, what do we think that the publisher would ask? And is there any shot of it even happening? So, like, something like Star Wars Jedi Survivor, that was on the list. I believe they were like, that would be like a $200 million game, and EA is not going to go for it. Like even if we ponied up the money,
$200 million, they would say
they
no.
Still would probably say no. Yeah, like there's ones that they just know, like we're not gonna get it.
That is interesting. I did not hear that part. That's cool.
That stuff was interesting to me because that is
so. There's games that they have paid $200 million for to put on Game Pass.
A part of it. One of them was like the Rockstar games. Like Rockstar was like, we pay, I don't know, something like $30 million a month, and they were per month, which is partially probably why stuff like Red Dead and GTA have come on and off the service. And again, I some of these I don't know if they were cost or estimates, but I guess some of the estimates were very much.
So they're pouring money into Game Pass. That's cool though. I mean, obviously, like we kind of, I would assume, like, yeah, it's not cheap to run Game Pass, but holy shit.
Yeah. So for RDR 2, Red Dead Redemption 2, they are all estimates. Because this is a list of games they were targeting. So for Red Dead Redemption 2, expected partner ask, so that would be Take-Two, $5 million a month. Something like, let's see, Dying Light 2, expected partner ask, $50 million. And that's just a flat rate. Gotham Knights, expected partner ask, $50 million. Before it came out, it targeted the date that was coming out, October 2022. Change of Guard at Discovery makes selling motion new, and already told us PC wouldn't land, so figuring 90 plus. Assassin's Creed Rift, so that's not the new one, that's the one that I believe is next after Mirage. Expected partner ask $100 million. Suicide Squad, expected partner ask $250 million. Jedi Survivor.
What?
Yeah. This is before all the bad came out about Suicide Squad. Jedi Survivor, expected partner ask more than $300 million. And it says it also, like, what they have their notes is it's a crown jewel they won't do.
Wow.
Mortal Kombat next. So this is before it was Mortal 1 Kombat. Expected partner asked $250 million. Their notes on it are crown jewel they won't do. Also change of guard at Discovery.
That's one they should pursue. I would like.
And also just. Also, just to kind of give you an idea of that, like, this change of guard, I mean, so this is 2021, 2022. This is relatively recent. The games were also recent, but like, just to kind of, the Discovery Warner merger ended in, what, April of last year? So.
Some of these games on here are. They're all 2022, 2023 games. So
yeah,
it could have been, you know, probably was early 2022, maybe mid 2022 when this list came out. It's crazy, like, looking at that.
Mortal Kombat would kill on Game Pass, though. Like, just think of that. Like, we could all play it. Let's go. You know, like.
So, people took this very badly too, because like Baldur's Gate 3, huge game this year. But they have Baldur's Gate 3 on the list, and they go expected partner ask $5 million, but they also wrote it down as. And this was before Stadia shut down, so because it was supposed to be a Stadia exclusive to start, Stadia and PC exclusive.
Oh, really? Wow.
Second run Stadia PC RPG. People took that to be like they took second run to be second rate, I guess. Like, so people were really up in arms over that. Second run just means like, you know, it's the second release of the game.
If you know movie theaters, it's like. It's like the drive-ins or the dollar theaters. Those are second runs. So when you're
yeah,
I was going to say the other thing. And again, you know, you say it now with Baldur's Gate, but I mean, before this summer, honestly speaking, Baldur's Gate wasn't on people's mind. Like, I'm sure there's gonna be PC gamers like, oh, man, I have X, Y, and Z. Like, yes, but it was not a big game. Like, it wouldn't have made any sense to. Like, it's good that it was on their radar, but like, that is not a game that would have been.
Yeah, but again, people, it's just not even the right connotation. Like, second run just means second run. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
And $5 million for a Larian game, you know, their biggest games were not huge, massive hits. And like, while Baldur's Gate 3 is a name, it was not guaranteed that it was going to be what it was.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't know.
It's kind of crazy what it is.
Yeah. Like, that's why, so it's not like, so again, it's good that it's on their radar. It's not like everybody knew, like, oh man, Baldur's Gate 3 was definitely going to be a Game of the Year contender when we were talking about it.
Right. So yeah, that list, as you said, are all super fascinating to read.
That is really,
The notes on it.
I had not heard any of that part, so that was cool. Yeah,
that was the most, like I said, when that came, I'm like, oh, this actually interests me. Everything else is like really fun gossip and, oh, like they're working on a new console, surprising. Oh, they were looking to purchase one of the biggest game companies in the world. I am surprised that Microsoft would consider that. I think a lot of people are like, oh, this just justifies my thought. Microsoft is just in it to like, they're not your friend. I'm like, no, I know company's your friend. Don't think of it that way. They're not here for the betterment of you. If they can make a profit, they're going to make a profit.
And like these documents are not full. Like there seems like, so that listing, we don't have the headers on them, so we don't really know what like low, medium. Like they have rankings on them. There's like what's the one for Baldur's Gate? A Hub Plus. Like we're not sure what that stuff means. People are inferring all sorts of shit, but. Super fascinating on that stuff. There was something else that I thought came out of that as well, but I'm drawing a blank on it. So I guess we'll move on to Tokyo Game Show. There was some news came out of there for us. It's people with Xbox Game Pass. I'm struggling with my words currently. We're getting two more Like a Dragon games, which are the Yakuza games, Like a Dragon Ishin and Like a Dragon Gaiden. Like a Dragon Gaiden is that, and then Like a Dragon Ishin is a different game. So two different Yakuza games are coming. All those games, I believe, are already on the system, so these are two more being added. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy is coming to Game Pass. I've never played Phoenix Wright, so might jump in on those. Octopath Traveler 2 coming to Xbox next year. Jeff, you fell off of that pretty hard.
Jeff fell off this chat very hard.
he muted himself, so yeah, that's coming, and that's nice. We all thought that Xbox had been forgotten because it came out on PlayStation, Switch, and PC already, so but I guess the renewed relationship between Square and Microsoft is good, and we're now going to get Octopath 2. I believe this might have been, we talked about the PlayStation reveals last week, right?
Yeah.
So we know Final Fantasy VII is coming, whatever it's called, Rebirth.
Yes.
Is coming next year. So they showed a little bit more of that at TGS, on the PlayStation side. So that's nothing big really came out of TGS, just some Game Pass shit. Other news, Dead Space co-creator Glenn Schofield, he founded Striking Distance Studios, and they released their first game last year, The Callisto Protocol. And it did not do as well as was expected, and he is now leaving Striking Distance as CEO of that company and moving on to different things. So, that game sold 2 million copies. That was earlier this year, was the reveal that it sold about 2 million copies. And its publishing or partner company, the ones funding Striking Distance, Krafton, they were targeting 5 million copies on that. So they're saying he's leaving of his own volition, but it's a lot of money that that game did not make. Jeff, we lose you again.
I'm back. Sorry, I had to wait for 1 second. What's going on?
Did you play Callisto Protocol or?
No, I vicariously lived it through you.
No, yeah, and it was a mediocre Dead Space, but where you hit things with a crowbar game. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So Schofield out there. After one game, so it's a shame. I'd hoped that game would have been
better. I think he's like, sorry, go ahead.
I got nah.
I think he is like, he seems like a good guy. Like, he comes across as kind of like a meathead, but like a good dude, if that makes any sense. I don't know how to explain it, but like, it's a shame that, you know, this did not work out the way he wanted. But also, I mean, maybe it goes to show that it wasn't obviously him that made Dead Space great. That's my takeaway from all this.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's no like one person that makes things great. I mean,
well, that's the thing, is people want to be like, this is Miyamoto, or, you know what I mean? Like, this is Kojima. It's like, not really, dude.
They want it to be like movies where it's like you have that director and it's like, okay, this is a Christopher Nolan joint. This is a Zack Snyder joint. Like, they have very distinct styles. Yeah. And I know Christopher Nolan and Zack Snyder are two, but comparatively, you know, when you've seen a Zack Snyder movie, you know, when you've seen a Christopher Nolan movie. Like, there's
even films, though, are collaborative effort, and those directors bring on a lot of the same people. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, the stamp that you put on it is not just you. And
there's a reason that there's certain actors that appear in every one of Nolan's films. You know, the Coen brothers have actors who pop up. James Cameron, you know, like, you kind of, like, you have a trust that you build in. It's not just you doing it.
Yeah, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio consistently shows up in Scorsese films now.
Fuck yeah, can't wait.
I mean, there are, so I did not mention this with the TGS thing, but Suda 51 and Sweary 65 announced a new game at TGS.
Awful.
but like, looking at it, like, I immediately was able to kind of be like, yeah, this is a game from these guys. Like,
I didn't see it, but just I mean, I'm not like, a fan, clearly.
the visual design of like Suda 51 is readily apparent. Sweary's very weird, quirky kind of writing style, also very apparent from the trailer. Like, you could tell it was by, like, they have major influence. I think, you know, you brought up Kojima. Like, there's a lot of consistency with how he handles things on his side. Like, yeah, like, the games, movies, very collaborative, but sometimes an auteur can push through and, like, have their stamp and their style on stuff. I don't know if Schofield's style is that distinct.
I don't know that he's an auteur. I don't know.
Right.
He's good. He's a good interviewee. Like, I've always liked him since back in the day. He shows a lot of, like, you know, passion for what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure he was very passionate about it, right? Like he left Visceral, where he had created Dead Space. He came to make another horror space horror game. Just seemed like very much like Dead Space. Like
I just feel like problem. He might be more of a manager type, and it's like not actually him. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a Miyamoto game. You know, like, you know, Miyamoto had like a real thumbprint on it or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And with Schofield, it's like the guy talks a good game, and I get that. You know, he has some tastes in what he's doing, but it's like ultimately, I think Schofield is reliant on quality, like people below him. And you know, it played out how it played out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sure that Krafton put a lot of money into that, expecting it to do better. So, one final thing I have here, Evil Dead the game, which I don't know if any of us have played. Earl, did you play any of?
No.
Okay, so it's another one of those, like Friday 13th or Texas Chainsaw. Yeah. It's an asymmetrical multiplayer horror game. Came out last year. It's a little over a year old, but Saber Interactive, who kind of developed it, has come out saying that they are ending development on new content for it, so... nothing new is coming from it. They're going to keep the servers up, so it's not dying. It just won't get anything new from what it is.
Ed wants dead. There's no dying den.
I mean, it seems like there's a little bit more than just the asymmetrical horrors. Like they added a battle royale mode to it, and so there is some gameplay options there. It's just not going to get anything new coming in off of it. People that I know that have played it seem to really enjoy it. I just never got around to it.
It does have a community, and hey, at least you get to still play it still.
Yeah, it's unlike as I think Earl said, I don't know if it was before the show started or not, but Friday 13th will end like at the end of this year. So
we'll die at some point, yeah.
Yeah. This one will live a little bit longer. Is there any other news you guys caught?
Fuck, man, it's a lot.
I was gonna say, I don't know if it, I mean, I guess it counts. I didn't really see it so much, but what was I gonna say? They announced Division 3?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it just was kind of in a thing, like it wasn't like. And that's why it's weird, I guess. They just kind of announced the Division 3. And I think that might have been it. Next year is Monster Hunter's 20th anniversary. They're going to celebrate that. Good on them.
Capcom, I saw that. The Capcom said that, you know, they didn't have anything to announce at TGS, but they would. There was stuff coming for Monster Hunter. All right. Well, that was news. Jeff, you finished Starfield.
I did. Yeah.
We can't spoil the narrative here, but how did you end up feeling about it? I know you're slightly mixed.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Trying to like figure out what I can say without spoiling Starfield, but like narrative, I kind of like talked about some of the things last week.
Yep.
And I think anyways I was drunk, but Starfield, like I did not love what the story was about. Okay, but once
we talked about that, it's multiverse based.
Yes, so I did not like that. But once we got to near the end of it, I thought they did interesting things with it, and that you had to make a choice that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Like, I was into the story at the end because of the choice. And even leading up to the choice that you had to make, I was, like, reading all the logs, like, very, like, you know, I'd go to a computer, there'd be four different files, I would read them all thoroughly, like, I was like, oh, like, so it was doing something right in that I was, like, into the story enough to do that, right? So I think a lot of, like, the end of the main story stuff, I thought, in my opinion, was pretty cool.
And how does New Game Plus work? Since have you jumped into that? Have you?
A little bit, and it, So, like, I beat the game, and I started, you start again, and it's kind of doing, like, you're doing a multiverse. So, it's, you know, you're going to play through the another multiverse, not the same universe you were in.
Another instance of your character is starting this adventure anew.
What?
Do you start it with your powers that you've found?
Yes. You start with all your stats that you have. Okay. But, and this is important, because a lot of reviewers said to, like, oh, just plow through the story and then, you know, do that. You lose all the missions that you had, so anything you were doing is gone.
Okay, so, like, if you had any quest open,
yeah, it's gone.
They're wiped. You have to restart those quest lines.
Yeah, those are gone, and you lose any inventory you had, like, so anything you were carrying, say goodbye.
That's shitty.
Anything you had in your cargo hold, say goodbye. The ships you had, say goodbye. Like, what you are keeping going into New Game Plus is your stats. That's it. It's kind of, like, if you were doing a storyline, like a side story, and you finish the game and did New Game Plus, and you would lose it. And it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I just think, like, you should know that going in.
And additionally, you're going to lose any of the relationships you built up with crew members.
Gone.
And,
yeah.
Like, all that resets to zero. I mean, it's an interesting way of doing it.
Well, it's just one of those things where I'm like, well, maybe if I play for an hour. Maybe if I play for an hour, you pick all this stuff up back again, right? Like, but so far, not.
Okay.
So far, the second playthrough is just like, hey, here's more artifacts. And the other thing they do when you start a new playthrough is they ask you, would you like to play the story again? Or would you like to not? And I said, no. I don't want to play through them. I've done the main story.
Yeah, who wants to go through that again? Not that it's bad, but, like, we want to go and explore this time out.
But all it gives you is, like, it's like, just like, here is a bunch of new artifacts that you have to find, and there may be some of them in different locations than before. And that's kind of it. And you lose everything else, so I honestly feel like there were a lot of critics that, like, when the game came out, saying, rush through the story, mainline the main quest, and then do the side stuff because reasons. And now that I'm there, I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, I don't get it.
I wonder.
I lost all my side quests. Like, all these side quests I were kind of interested in, they're gone now. To do what? To go chase artifacts after I've already done this? Like, it killed my interest to play the game more, to be honest. Go ahead.
And I mean, I didn't read a ton. I did, like, I saw a lot of that same, like, you should play the main quest.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was play the main quest up to a point.
No, it was.
Or if it was like play all the way through, then do new game plus.
Beat the main quest, and then the game opens up, and I'm like.
So it's really like their advice is really like, don't do anything else. Just play the main quest,
yeah,
and then restart, and don't collect anything. Don't,
yeah,
like basically just rush through, finish the game.
Based on what I've played, I couldn't disagree more. Like really, like because like you beat the main quest, and literally all I've gotten after the main quest was like go collect artifacts. I'm like, well, I already did that. This isn't interesting. It's not like the side quest. Like, I haven't gotten the side quests again like I did. Like, in the original game, you're getting these interesting side quests to go on. Like, that's not there. It's just like, hey. Well,
those side quests
maybe come from there.
You being in, and you have to go to certain locations.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll run into people and get them again. But, like, going into New Game Plus wipes them all out. You know what I'm saying?
It would have been nice if it at least like left the quest, like
yeah,
like not. It didn't close it out, like or just reset it, right? So it's like here's this quest that you had, but you don't have to go find it again. It's like if you want, like here's a list of all the open quests that you had going, or even closed quests. Like here's everything all reopened again in a list for you to go find.
But,
you know, somebody will patch that shit in a year in the mods, but...
Once you start New Game Plus, you're losing everything. Like, you're losing everything but your stats. And so... I don't like it. I think you should play the side quests. You should enjoy yourself until you're done.
I really like what I played of Starfield, but I don't like love it. So I think I may do what you're suggesting, Jeff, and just like get what I want out of it, and then when I feel I'm done, just wrap up the main quest and call it a day. Like I don't necessarily know if I need to play New Game Plus and reassemble all my gear and all my resources and like. If I'm going to fuck with Outpost, I'm going to do it in this first playthrough. And
nothing I have seen in New Game Plus has been like a revelation and, oh, this is why this is a great game. No, it's just like it is kind of resets everything. And the point of New Game Plus is this, like spoilers, I guess. The point of New Game Plus is to show you all the possibilities of the multiverse. And it's like, okay, that's great. I could play through this game a million times. But it kind of has like the same effect that the multiverse has in Marvel movies where you're like, okay, then if everything could happen in any universe, then none of this means anything. Like, it like reduces the meaning of anything that's happening. Honestly, like, it's just... I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, does
I do. Look... I don't necessarily agree with you on the like that matters in that instance. Like, so like everything that you do in that first instance like mattered. It just mattered there. Everything you do in the second one would matter there. Just do you care to do a second run?
This game seems to want you to play through it over and over and to do a million multiverses, right? But then it ultimately becomes like, well, then nothing is real. Not that nothing's real, that's just like, here's all different possibilities, and so nothing matters really. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing with this multiverse thing. Like, it's kind of neat, but it's also kind of like that nothing matters. There's no stakes because in another universe, like, things worked out the way you wanted it. Right?
Well, I think that's the cool thing about a multiverse, right? It's like you could fuck up in this one, but then, like, in another one, you didn't fuck up, or in another one, like, you're a bajillionaire.
But it allows you to tell a story without committing to it. Like, it might, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're not committing to this is what happened. And when you're playing through it, like, what doing the New Game Plus in Starfield does is, like, make it feel like, well, it's not that none of your choices matter. It's just that, like, yeah, whatever. Like, and one of you, when you versus this happens, one of you versus this happens, like, anyways, that's Starfield without me totally spoiling it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm going to get there. Tony will get there. Earl may play it at some point.
Earl, you have it downloaded?
I downloaded it. It's been downloaded since before it came out. I even started it last week, and then I didn't create my character yet. So, but I did start the game.
So. Oh my god!
Hey, if you think that's bad, I also downloaded Payday 3, and I went to pay it before this pod. I went to pay it today to see if it was worth like invest. And they're like, "Oh, you have to create an account." I'm like, "Oh, that's too much work for me." So, I don't know why all these games need to have their own individual. I don't know why you all need to have my email. I don't want to have a 1,000 different accounts for every game I play. I have.
Yeah. Especially since we already have an Xbox or a PlayStation account. Like, why do I need a secondary account on top of that?
Yeah. I don't know, but everybody keeps on asking. I'm like, you know what? That's too much work for me. I don't want to do it right now. It may go the way of Redfall. I didn't try Redfall because they wanted me to create an account. I'm like, no, thank you.
Just absolutely baddie because Bethesda is owned by Microsoft. We already have an account with Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't even know what people do with these. I assume it's just like so you have emails and ways to contact people, but I don't understand why everybody was like, you need to have an account. I'm like, I understand. I believe this has crossfix. I understand that. But like, there's ways to do it that don't involve me creating an account or like have me create an account if I want to do crossfix with like specific friends.
Yeah.
I think you can just do crossfix in general because it's just going to be like, here's a pool of people you can play with. But if I want to invite friends, that's different. Or do like Texas Chainsaw. I think Texas Chainsaw, you get a code that you give to people. Like, I know that's cumbersome, but again, it's better than me having to create an account.
I love crossplay. Let's do some crossplay.
You don't have Xboxes, though.
No, I... Never mind.
Jeff wants to do some different...
Yeah. I got that.
You know, some crossplay?
I got that. It's him and Aaron Bobit.
Oh, Earl's on my level finally. Thank you.
So no payday, Earl.
No payday. Probably next week. I think part of it was also like the friends I would play it with are don't you know we'll do it next week or whatever. But no, because it's CrossFit, I had friends who like because I enjoy payday. I enjoy payday 1 and 2. And I was just like asking people like yeah, you know, I enjoy it, but like. When I paid it, I always had to pay it random. So if you're going to get, I'm like, yeah, we'll see. Because I stopped paying Payday 2 because they stopped supporting it on consoles. Like, they updated it like once or twice. And they're like, you know what? It's what it is. And then like, you'd watch as the PC gamers got a bunch of updates for every little thing. And it's just like, oh, we're just not going to support it. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. But yeah, I'm.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe some payday next week. Did you play anything this week though?
Well, nothing new, but something. Well, I mean, not old, but I did go back and play some F-Zero 99.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, I do find it fun, and then I think when I mentioned it last week that you know I had played the core mode because it had come out that day, so I went back and I played some of the other stuff. I will say that I mean, one, the game's chaotic in general. But I find team battles such a fascinating thing. So, so the core, F-Zero 99 is the main mode, and then on the side they'll have a time mode that comes up every so often. Apparently, that you know alternates between a Grand Prix and some other stuff. Grand Prix is actually a really interesting one as well. You play through I think 4 races, but you have your continuing health. So it's more a game about survival than it is, because you know you want to make it to, you have to make it to the final race to get credit. So it's also like, oh, maybe I don't have to be first. Maybe I'll come in like, as soon as I come in that cutoff point, I will make it through the four races. So I can maintain some health. Team battle is kind of the same thing. Well, not the same thing. Team battle is F099, except split up into teams of, I think, 49 and 49. I don't think it's 50-50.
Okay.
And so like, there's purple team. I mean, there's pink team and green team. And so you get points based off, well, you get points based off the placements or how everybody faces. Matters, but then you also get points for like not getting like that. This is a side of that encourages you to play aggressively, because you get points for, you know, spin moves and then hitting opponents into walls. You get points for KOing enemies and stuff like that. So at the end of it, it's like all the points combined in the team with the most points. So like you can have a bunch of people who finish like, you know, like 1 through 10, or like say everybody else is like 70 through 90. Like that's gonna hurt, but like, let's say they did a bunch of damage, so that's going to rack it up. So they take all of that into account. Placement is the most points as far as I can see. But again, it's a very different type of mode, because again, you half the people you aren't trying to hurt, but you still end up bumping into them. And then the other thing, because I had my first wipeout, I don't think it's all the time, but when you wipe out, you won't win, but you don't necessarily leave the game. I didn't realize like the bumper cars, that there's other cars on the track. Those are players who come back and you get to control them. They don't have the same exact, like I don't think, you know, their speed is like kind of capped, but they dump you in this middle of people and you can just be a dick. So like, all I was doing was like bumping people into walls and spinning. Cause I'm like, I'm not winning. This is just for me to get additional points at the end. And that was really fun to see, like, they have an element as well where it's like, okay, you know, you can continue on this if you want. But yeah, I honestly think it's been a very surprising game. Well, I mean, it was a surprising game. We didn't know about it until last week. But like how much fun I'm having with it, especially like I said before, I'm not a person who's been super into F-Zero, and I think this is a really nice formula. I mean, it also helps that like race is like less than 5 minutes, so you can play one or two during a break or play a bunch of them. It's still nice to kind of get in there and, you know, mess around for a bit and then have some fun with it. So
nice. I still need to, you know, give that game a shot. So
I've downloaded it.
Jeff just like, he doesn't know if he wants
it'll to happen.
He doesn't want to know if he gives him too much credit, because what if this is the future of F-Zero?
Exactly.
This is the end of F-Zero. You play anything else, Earl?
Spade. This will be on my game of the year list. Much further down the road, but Exo Primal, I played some more of it. I play with friends. It's a ton of fun. So I finally got to the point of the game where you start getting, at least they start involving new things, like new creatures, and like the big horde mode, like, you know, the 10v T-Rex or whatever.
Yep.
And I will say, I don't think they listen to this, so apologies if they do. I have my friends to death. I was playing with them. My friends were ahead of me. And my friend's like, oh, I know what mission this is. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Like, okay, you're just telling me that you're telegraphing like this is going to be the big 10 person mission. But it's very, very fascinating, because even though I knew it existed, I didn't know what it was, and just kind of seeing like, that like we fought what are they called? I know it's a T-Rex, but they have like a special name for them, like Neo T-Rex.
Yeah, because they're like glowy, so they're,
yes,
like...
those like the total white moves and stuff are insane. Like the ones where it's like, you know, you just fight in like an enclosed arena and like it just like does like a pool of, I'm gonna say acid, even though it's purple.
Yeah, you got to jump on the platforms.
Yes.
Yep.
And it worked out for me, because I was Skywave. So, like, Skywave, big thing is that most of the time you aerial, but like it does like a discharge attack, and that knocked me out of the air and KO'd me. I'm like, oh wow, that was insane. But it's a ton of fun. It's so weird to just kind of see, because like you're working with everybody, and you can like as a heel you can still work with them, but like I don't have any information on them other than like, oh, I think you need healing. Like with my team, I can kind of see what they're going as. And I, like I said, I, you know, I talked about this yesterday on Twitter, and I told everybody because I'm super proud of it. I, you know, get an MVP as a heel is not something you can do. That's not something I get often. I don't think it's not because you're not very, you're not usually an offensive character.
Right. But, yeah. You're a support character.
Yeah. But I played a PvP yesterday, separate from that, where the final one was, I forget what they used, but it's control point. It's the one, you know, the ones where you're like, oh, hold A, B, you get points for it or whatever.
Yep.
And everybody still, like, there's three of them, so there's always that one that people fight off of. And I was able to hold off people on B as a healer for like a good like 4 or 5 minutes, and I was like, I do not know how this works. I have like limited offensive abilities. You folks have much stronger weapons. I am a gas sponge. But I was able to hold it off, and I think I ended up getting something like 6 KOs. And I got like, yeah, it was insane. I think I was something like 123,000 points. I'm like, yes. It was just like, and again, it was, I'm still doing the job of, I mean, not a super great job, because clearly my team was there. I would heal them, but like, yeah, we won the game, which is important, which is the important thing. But I'm like, yes, it's, I really enjoy playing a heal in that game. Partially, I think, because like that the character I play, Skywave, tends is not really ground based. Like the fact that you don't have a ton of offensive abilities, it's like, okay, I'm not really engaging in this battle, and it's great to kind of be over, okay, this person needs help, I'm gonna go throw it over there and try to help them and heal them and stuff like that. Yes. Oh, same note real quick, I guess. Exo Primal Season 2 was announced, coming out next month. That's the one that's gonna have the Street Fighter collab. I think they introduced some new dinosaurs. And I think there might be and a new
map, new yeah. location or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I honestly speaking, I think we talked about this when before it came out. It's like, I was like, oh, this would be fun to play. I don't really know what it is or whatever. And I've just had a ton of fun with it. You know, I mostly because I play with friends. I played one right before the podcast today, and it was just a real quick reminder as to why I don't use mics with in games if I'm not playing with friends, because it I got really angry and aggressive and toxic by at the end with people who had mics on, and I'm like, oh, I kind of want to go.
Yeah, you don't want to engage with those types of people.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know what, you don't actually need to communicate too much in this game, so it works out for me.
No, yeah, that's the good thing about Exo Primal. It's like, it's pretty much like straightforward. Like there's a, like, you know, it tells you where to go. So, you know, if you're following the dotted line, you go to the point and the objective will appear in front of you. And if you don't follow the dotted line, there's no amount of, you know, communicating with that person to get them to do it. They're clearly not paying attention. So, well, I'm glad that you are having a good time with that. I enjoyed my time with it. Do you know how many missions in you are?
I think this is like 28 or so. So I know, okay. So I'm trying to get to that point where I can see that, and I, you know, I'm near I think my Skyway's at 19, so I'm near the point where I can get what is it, the Alpha variant. I will say, you know, it is what it is, but it sucks because I like playing Skywave, and you go in sometimes and somebody just to heal you, and it's just like one of us is gonna have to change up this outfit, and then the other person is not budge. I'm like, fine, I will do it, but then I just judge you because I know like how good this role can be, and you're not doing it. So,
Jeff, you play anything else this week?
Yeah, a little bit. Mostly Starfield, but yeah, I played a little bit of Vampire Survivors.
Oh yeah, you and your wife playing through the co-op. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like super into it, and it's a deeper game than I had even thought at first, where I was like, oh, I unlocked everything there needed to be, like, before I beat the first level. And, no, there's more stuff. Like, there's stuff behind the walls. There's new levels. You can unlock its DLC. And the canon is just very robust. Like, and
to unlock, like, the final battle, like, you have to do, like, some weird arcane shit, like, to...
Yeah.
You know, and then they do, so like, I think the DLC introduces, like, it's not that there weren't structures before, but it's like more of like you're exploring this like little town and fighting
a enemies more there. designed low. Yeah,
like, instead of like, it was, you know, the other ones are way more open, either side scrolling left and right or up and down, or just like a big open map area. So they've added some, like, it's actually a map with structures involved in it. All the characters have different, you know, approaches. Some of the weapons, you know, not great, but...
Yeah. And I'm sure you talked about this before. How does co-op work? Like, do you share screens, or does it, like, spit off, or is it, like...
Shared screen.
So there's balance. So you actually have to coordinate, like, oh, we're both gonna move down. We're gonna move
up. Yeah, you're going too far that way. Let me pick up these gems over here. Yeah.
Okay. And do you level up separately or together?
It's alternating. So the first time you level up, player one will level up. Second time you level up, player two levels up.
I think
it kind of works out. Like, it kind of, like, because. At the end of the day, you're shooting a lot of shit out. Like, you know what I mean?
You are, like, but I was going to say, like, I feel like that's really novel at the beginning, but I feel like by the time you get, like, 5 minutes in, where you're being swarmed, you're just going to be like, I don't know who needs to level up. I assume it tells you who's leveling up.
Yeah, well, only one person gets the choice of it, and...
And you're split, too, right? Like, you know, you can't carry as many items.
Yeah, like, well, you have less weapons and less power-ups per person. But, yeah, it adjusts. Like, so if four players were playing, it'd be like, you get two weapons, that's it, you know? But at the same time, if all two people have two weapons, it's a lot of shit thrown out, you know what I mean? Like, it makes sense how they did it, but, yeah, I think the game is ideal at two players, where, yeah, neither you might not get as many weapons or power-ups, but it just feels right at two players. It's so awesome.
That's cool. I'm glad that's working out.
And wife is obsessed with the game. Like, she plays it. She's probably playing it right now.
I mean, it is a game that's very easy to, like, one, because it's very easy to just pick up and play. Like, you know, you can understand it pretty simply. Yeah,
but there's more to it than you'd expect, you know? Like, there really is. Like, it's a pretty deep game.
So, glad you guys are enjoying that.
Oh, yeah.
I guess real quick, I mean, I played some Starfield too, but I'm not going to get into that. I went back, played some older stuff.
Yeah.
I played Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures. You guys know of this one?
I know the TV show.
No.
It's based on the TV show.
Yeah.
It's a 3D platformer. I believe it was 2011.
It's not in the collection?
It's not in the collection, no. In fact, it is not it's not available on Xbox anymore. It was delisted at some point.
Oh, fuck, dare they.
it's a pretty standard 3D platformer. It's actually, you know, I think some of the design is really well done. Some of the boss fights are fun. It is weird that, like, you know, you're picking up pellets, and that the more pellets you pick up, like, that unlocks. Basically, there's like this scientist Pac-Man guy, and he's like, if you pick up these pellets, like, we'll be able to find locations for you to go to. So you have to pick up like a bunch of regular pellets, which then unlocks like certain special levels later. And you need to unlock those levels to progress. So you need to find a certain amount of regular pellets. But then there's power pellets, which in regular Pac-Man, when you eat a power pellet, scares the ghost. These are all actual power pellets. So it's like you can turn into Metal Pac-Man or, you know, there's a boomerang, like a grappling hook Pac-Man. I don't know. It gives Pac-Man special powers to utilize on the map, whether it be fire, ice, the grappling hook, metal, it's magnet, I guess, because you can connect to things. And that, you know, there are puzzles associated with that. It's, you know, it's very similar to kind of like how you know, get powers in Mario. You eat a lot of ghosts, but you don't have to scare them to eat them, which I thought was weird. Like, you can just gobble ghosts up. Pac-Man's just out here eating ghosts without them being scared. You can also scare them, and that makes them run away from you as opposed to attacking you. But all these ghosts are pretty easy to avoid, so you can just gobble them up. The one issue I have is it's pretty standard. There's worlds. There's like five different levels in a world. Boss at the end of them. The game expects you to go back and replay the level. And so there's a fruit at the end of one, and then there is an arcade token at the end. So if you want 100% it, you have to play every level twice. It's the exact same level. So it's like very, gets a little tedious where it's like, this isn't, it was fun the first time, but like now I know everything and it's not as much fun. And Pac-Man's annoying. He's fully voiced. He's just annoying. That said, it's a decent enough platformer. I think it's scored in like the 60-ish range, so like it's a good game. So yeah, that's Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures. And just real quick, you guys ever play a game where you're like you're blanking, like you can't figure out how to progress, you start getting frustrated with it, you come back to it a day later and it's like, oh,
it was right there in your face.
Yeah. It's like, so yeah, you go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think they call it a game of fatigue. It more often than not happens with like bosses where it's like, I can't beat this boss. And you go back the next day. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see that pattern right there. Super easy.
Yeah. So it probably was like, I had played this game for like an hour and a half. It's called The Future Project. I did some like testing and consulting on it. Earlier in the year before it released, and I was like, oh, I'll finally go back and finish it. Like I played through the first like three or four levels, might as well just wrap it now, like go through. And I got to this point where I had explored everything, and like it's a Metroid, kind of like a Metroid Prime type game where you have to get powers to progress, because they unlock other doors, and it's like, I've done everything in all the other levels. Have this fifth level here telling me that there's two powers to get on this level. I just can't figure out. Like I've walked everywhere. I can't figure out what the hell to do. And then finally today I was like, I was getting ready to, you know, on the Discord that I'm on with this guy, just like, hey man, like, I don't know. I'm lost. What am I missing? And I'm glad I didn't do that to the guy that made the game, because it was right there in front of my face. Like, finally open up the map again. And it was like, oh my God, there's a doorway here that I did not go through. and yeah, so just, yeah, you got to take breaks every once in a while.
Yeah. And sometimes, Ed, I mean, this isn't necessarily just advice for video games, but like sometimes you get so in your head, like, okay, no, I know this has to be what I need to do.
Yep.
That you try 150 ways. It's like, I know. And then it's like, you step away for a second and you come back and it's like, wait, what if I did this? And it's like, oh God, that was it the entire time.
You just feel stupid because it's like, it was there. It was right there.
Yes.
But it's also a fun eureka moment too, though. It's like, all right, good. I could continue on in this game. I haven't hit that wall.
Not the same thing, and it's not necessarily a game, but I don't know if either one of you play Connections. And sometimes that makes me feel that way. Connections is the latest Wordle craze. It is from the New York Times, and it's a grid of, it's 4x4, so it's a grid of 16 words. And of the 16 words, all like there's four groups of four, and you have to figure out like what connects, you know, four words and how they connect. You don't have to figure out how they connect, you just have to figure out the four words. And like sometimes I will look at it when it first, I look at my phone, I'm like, I do not understand how any of these words connect. And then you go the next day, not the next day, you go later on, and like, oh, I should have thought of that. That's super easy. Like, to give you an example, I mean, today I don't think there's anything that was super, super out there, but, I can't see the, so like, for example, today was, so today, because they always do this, they don't always do it, but they do one where it's like, okay, there's like one or two words that may fit into multiple categories, so you have to be like, okay, it fits, but it does it fit what they're going for? Like, today, one of the categories were Muppets. It was Animal, Beaker, Gonzo, and Scooter. But one of the additional words on the board was Piggy. And you think, Miss Piggy. But I was like, everybody else has their name. She would be Miss Piggy. So Piggy was in hand and feet related terms. So that was digit, dog, mid, and Piggy. And it's like, okay. So that's one of those things where I'm like, I will look at it sometimes. I'm like, I do not see the pattern. Take, you know, put my phone away, shower, get ready for work, come back on the train. I'm like, oh. Okay, I see where these words are connecting now. I see what I was missing. And yeah, it's like one of those things where your brain just gets wired in a certain way. So,
no, I have not. I have never played Connections before. So it seems neat. I'm looking at it right now. We've lost Jeff. Something's going on in Illinois that he needs to take care of. So we'll be back next week with Tony, maybe, I think.
And then the actual Game Pass game of August. So, I mean, we're going to pretend it's not Exoprimal, but...
Well, Exoprimal was July. We gave it to Exoprimal in July.
What was that? Last month
Sea of Stars.
Sea of Stars, sorry, yeah, Sea of Stars. And it is wondering, like, it's just super obvious what it's going to be. But we'll pretend like other games came out that we'll discuss, and then, you know, we'll debate it and see what it is. But it's going to be Sea of Stars. Like I assume this month will be Starfield, but...
Yes. I mean, we could talk briefly about Texas Chainsaw, because that did come out in August as well. But I think Sea of Stars has that unlock. And I don't think anything... I'm sure... Well, no, Lies of P just came out on...
Lies of P, and I mean, Payday 3 is a possibility.
I forgot Payday 3 was also... So, yeah, I mean... You're probably right. Starfield probably is going to be the winner for September, but
games to talk about. It's nice. Maybe we'll just. I was going to say we're looking at the PlayStation 2 as well. But the problem is, I'm just so confused about their tiers. I really don't know what is what, and I don't think they add games as frequently or in such a. It's weird. And again, I could be completely wrong.
They add games about once a month, so. Okay, but it's like different, as you said, different tiers. So it depends on where you're at, on what you're getting.
Well, that's what I meant. Like they have, because they have the core PlayStation Plus titles that you get. So that, but I'm talking about, because I was going to say, it's weird that And again, I could be wrong. I feel like Microsoft's very consistent. You tend to get Game Pass games. Well, one, you get them on release if they're coming out. And then you get games like the start and like the end of the month. Nintendo's pretty consistent. They will have, NSO would usually have like a week for the expansion and then a week for like the just basic tiers. Like, you know, we've already had a few games this month and then do Kirby and the Amazing Mirror next month. Where Sony, I'm just like, I don't know when your games come out. I don't know what's on the service. I don't know. And again, I mean, now that we see the Game Pass prices, I understand why they're not necessarily getting games day and day for release, because, I mean, long term, it's not necessarily a feasible strategy, because that does add up, and I can't imagine getting that much back in subscriptions to account for, you know, even if it's like 3 or 4 games a year, that is still out of money.
Yep. Yes, it is. Have you gotten a PlayStation yet, no. Or are you waiting till Spider-Man?
I'm waiting for Spider-Man, and I know that there was just a deal on them. I don't know if it's still going on, but I also feel like I'm just like waiting for like that deal that sings to me that it's like, yep, time for me to get it, because $500 is still a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, especially since everything else is more expensive now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe after you do get one, because I assume you'll get one before Spider-Man or around Spider-Man so at some point in the future. Maybe then we will add the PlayStation Plus game of the month.
Yeah.
But we will be back to talk about other stuff. Probably not Lies of Peaks. It does not seem like a game for any of us, even
maybe
Jeff.
Jeff.
I think Jeff may be playing that Lords of the Fallen next week. Lies of P is more parry based, and I know he doesn't like Sekiro. So,
yeah, I'm more fascinated by the story of it, because I didn't realize it was a Pinocchio thing.
Pinocchio, it is very much. It is a very interesting story from what I've heard, where it's very much class. It's based on, like, you know, class structures and stuff, and very interesting from what I've heard about the story. But
also,
I'm really bad at those games. Yeah.
I'm going to say, quick aside, nothing to do with this, except it does, because it's Pinocchio. Is that, I guess something happens in the next 3 months. Not necessarily the character, but aspects of Mickey Mouse goes in the public domain next year. And I'm very curious as to see what we get out of that. Because, like, you know, the size of peas, Pinocchio, we had Winnie the Pooh, Bread and Honey earlier this year. So I'm trying to, I'm just like thinking of like the perverted things people are going to do with like a Steamboat Willie game, or.
It's going to be wild, because Disney has been super protective of
I mean, that's Mickey, kind of but... what copyright law the way they are, because they were trying as best they could to get him, keep him out of it. But now we are. But again, it's not the character.
It's versions of.
Yes, because I think it's Steamboat Willie itself.
Yeah.
But. So I think Mickey Mouse should be in the public domain, but I feel like it's going to make a Sherlock Holmes thing where, like, it's like this version, which isn't necessary. He's not.
It's not the modern.
Yeah.
Mickey. Yeah, it's actually, if you watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver earlier this year, he kind of goes in depth on what is going to be legal. Mostly because he's hoping people will make shit with it. So if you're interested in seeing what is going to hit public domain with Mickey, go look that John Oliver clip up. It's out there somewhere. So he puts a lot of his shit on YouTube. So
yeah,
All right. Well, we will be back next week. We got some stuff to talk about, and possibly some new games, depending upon what Jeff ends up playing. Earl, say goodnight.
And ladies and gentlemen, for the final time tonight, we bid you farewell.